KBMW.
It's Dablo doing what I do.
Talking to you every morning. Rise and shine, do the Wednesday stretch. Got some clouds keeping us company here, 46 degrees. Once a month, I look forward to this. I get to talk to this guy, Scott Nicholson, Richland Wilkin Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you need an extra stretch with this gray, gloomy weather we've had.
Some days I kind of like it, though. I'm weird that way.
Well, I like it because it gives me an excuse to drink an extra cup of coffee.
Good. Yes, good. Yeah. That is a good game plan. Hey, Backup. Let's review. Power of 100.
Power of 100. Yep.
Okay. That was, I'm told, great success.
It was beautiful. It was successful. We had about 120 people there. We put on just a wonderful show. The venue, the 44. Oh my Lord.
That worked out well for you.
Perfect setup. Beautiful, beautiful facility. As a one-time architect student, I really appreciated some of the finer touches that are put together in there. Just a wonderful facility, great amenity for our county and our area. So it was great to be there. The food was wonderful, got really good reviews on the food. Rick Adams, our entertainer, really good feedback on him. I mean, just all around, really, really good night.
That is wonderful to hear, too. And I'm guessing a lot of first-timers to that location, too, walking in.
Yeah, a lot of first-timers to that location and a lot of first-timers to our event, which was really nice. I kind of played the role of the host or the greeter, the Walmart greeter, as folks were first coming in. And there were a lot of folks that had visited us at the Power 100 for the first time, which is exciting because we do have a pretty loyal fan base that... Mm-hmm. When we kind of announce tickets are ready, they're kind of the first, few that buy their tables right away. And if we could grow that loyal fan base a little bit and get a few more of those tables sold, that'd be, it's just all the better.
Speaking of location.
Yes.
You got a new location for the foundation right here.
And yeah.
Looks nice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a work in progress. We were fortunate to find a really good location. That gives us a little bit of, kind of Main Street exposure, but we've got off-street parking. I've got, I walk right up to my front door. But we're next to Verizon and Dr. Andrea Hornstein, two very thriving businesses with lots of traffic. So we've got letters on the doors, and we've got our sign up so people can see us now with all that traffic that we're getting. We had a great crew do kind of our renovation and that for us. So really made it a nice working space for me. But we've got a nice big conference table in there for our committee that comes in, half a dozen times a year and uses the space. But I've had private one-on-one meetings with folks doing different things that we do at the foundation. I've had big group meetings, so it's just a really, really nice space and love the flexibility that it gives me.
Scott, for people listening,
yes,
what is the foundation all about? How can you thumbnail it? When people say, Scott, what's involved with the foundation?
Well, so on the highest elevation level, we're an organization that has a 50-year legacy of carrying on donors' wishes. We do that in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what most people kind of discover for the first time when I get to have these more in-depth conversations with them. They see and they hear about Richland Wilkin Community Foundation. I mean, that's the most visible thing that we do. But they don't understand that that's just part of a larger organization that has operations across the state of North Dakota and into some of our contiguous areas like Wilkin County. But we do scholarships. We do private donor-advised funds. We do, I'm working on setting up a new cemetery fund for a group west of here. There's a lot that we do.
Wow, a lot of stuff in play.
A lot of stuff in play, always. I'm constantly going from one thing to the next. And sometimes I'm working on stuff that's due right now, today in front of me. And sometimes I'm doing things that have maybe a 2-year lead time. I'm working on a project where okay, I need to start thinking about this. There's, you know, there's kind of some seasonality to it, and I'm kind of building an inventory, so to speak, if you will. But, you know, maybe a couple years down the road, if I execute on that, the results of that will be on display for somebody some point.
Without a doubt. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be much lag time with what you do.
You know, not really, no, because, for example, Richland Wilkin is in their grant process right now. So yep. if you're a qualifying nonprofit or a public entity, you can apply through the Richland Wilkin grant process. We've got, I think, about $35,000 available that we'll be granting out. But I have four other groups that are doing that same thing in different communities.
Sure.
And so, you know, for the listeners here, KBMW, Richland Wilkin is your primary focus. What are they doing? What are their activities? Where do their dollars go? But from my employer standpoint, they're asking, what are you doing in Richland Wilkin? What are you doing in Allendale? What are you doing in Oaks? What are you doing?
You've got quite an outreach. Yeah.
I'm basically a regional development director servicing nine different communities, and then of course all those other private donors and scholarships and things in those areas. But yeah, we've got three more of me, you know, and those directors are more experienced. They have more funds. So they have larger territories and a little bit more logistics to manage.
What can you tell Scott? What can you tell us about grants? We were talking about that before we went.
Yeah. So, kind of the one of the primary things that we do is, you know, the donors gave us money and said, we want to enrich our communities. We want to leave something behind. And so with the grant process, what we do is we open up those funds to those various nonprofit groups that provide everything from the most basic services mm-hmm. on up to what I call community enhancements. So, you know, a lot of our history at Richland Wilkin is tied to the United Way, and they're known for supporting like food security, victim and survivor services, you know, things like that.
Right.
That's a major, major source for us in terms of an outlet for our grants.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't reviewed the list of applicants yet, and we've got a couple more weeks here before we wrap that up here in Richland Wilkin. But, you know, we'll get anywhere from, well, if we've got $35,000 available, I'd be surprised if our total applications aren't going to be in the $50,000 to $70,000 range.
Wow.
Yeah, there's way more demand than there is, you know, funds available.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unique to Richland Wilkin.
I was going
to
say that's kind of universal.
Yep. I saw it just last week. I was in Milner. They closed their grant session at the beginning of October. So their group just met last week. They have a huge, huge endowment left by a donor. And so their grantable balance is significantly larger than ours.
All right.
They still don't have enough because the requests get bigger. You know, instead of maintaining a piece of equipment, you're looking at building a new shop or facility or something. Mm-hmm. It's just the projects change. You know, there's always, you know, if you're like me, especially, you can build something, and as soon as you build it, you're like, well, I can make it bigger.
I can make it bigger and better. Right.
You know, so that's kind of what those communities now are faced with is, you know, how do we use this money appropriately, the best way possible? What would our donors want us to do as a committee making these decisions? How would they like us to decide these? Because I'll be honest, some of those discussions are quite interesting.
I bet.
You know, they will debate things back and forth as far as what's the greater benefit to the, you know, to their respective community.
Mm-hmm.
Different committees have different personalities and what they see as more of a required kind of an application, like, oh, we've got to support this. I mean, it's obvious, right? This is a no-brainer.
I'm going to ask if there's emotional ties.
Well, and then in the next community, it can be completely different. You know, so that's one of the interesting things about the perspective I get in this job is I get to watch a lot.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm not really there, like in the grant decision meetings especially, I'm not really there to decide. I don't stump a position for one application or the other. I can't really do that.
You're not a casual observer.
Yeah, I'm a casual observer. My job is to keep the committee in the guardrails, right? Mm-hmm. I work with the grantees outside of the applications and say, here's how you can strengthen your application. Here's from the discussion, here's some elements of your application that maybe you need to reinforce so that they feel more comfortable making a decision in your favor. So I work with grantees to kind of help them, but it's the committee ultimately that decides the direction of where the grants go, how active of a committee are we going to be? Are we mm-hmm. going to have big, huge event fundraisers and commit ourselves to volunteering and that, or are we going to be kind of more quiet and grow the foundation in a different way?
Right.
You know, so it's really interesting, to be a part of all the different communities and do it different ways.
Scott, my friend, wish we had more time. We're out for this month, but hey, you're coming back in November.
Always.
We're going to be talking about a lot of good things going on.
Yeah, we'll have lots to talk about.
All right. Scott Nicholson, Richland Wilkin Foundation. We talk with Scott once a month. It's not enough, but it's all I can talk him into. Here at the Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.